Turn in your Bibles, if you wish, in New King James Version to Psalm 18, or if you look on the bulletin, I've included the text on there. For the Psalm meditation this week, we'll be looking at the first six verses of Psalm 18. I've taken the opportunity here, and I love the way it timed out, where I have the opportunity finally to do a full sermon on a long psalm with Phil's absence this week. So we'll be looking at the entirety of Psalm 18, all 50 verses for the sermon. But for the psalm meditation, we'll be looking at the first six verses. So let's hear God's word. I will love you, Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Jehovah, and he cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. This part of the psalm, this first six verses, it starts out, as so many of the Psalms do, with a declaration of reliance on the Father, on God in heaven, on Jehovah, the covenant God. The first verse, I will love you, O Lord, Jehovah, my strength. And we have here a very clear calling of God, the strength of the psalmist, as he looks to him for strength and him only. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Now, the psalm that we're looking at here, verse Psalm 18, I guess I should have started with this before I started in on the verses, is a very rich, a very poetic psalm. And children, by poetic, I don't mean that it's in rhymed couplets or it's quatrains or there's a sonnet structure or anything of that sort. That's not what poetry really means. When people talk about something being poetic, when people talk about poetry, pure poetry, they're talking about language that takes a few words to say a lot of things. Language that uses words to paint a picture, to bring emotions out of you. As opposed to prose, which is just telling a story, just words giving thoughts. Poetry, which is what this is supposed to bring out of you an emotion, an emotional response. It should make you think of other things, as I've been going over lately, alluding to other parts of Scripture to bring a much bigger story than just the text that we're looking at. Okay? The beginning, again, when it calls out for God is to be his strength, when he just flat says, God, you are my strength. Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant God, my strength. I will love you. But then the next verse, he goes on to use some words, some terms that should, again, bring out some thoughts and feelings. So we'll know some things here. Starts out with Jehovah is my rock. And that phrase is used several times throughout the Psalms. And the idea, of course, is a rock is something that's hard, that's solid, that can be depended on to be what it is and to be there when you need it. The rock of the salvation is used sometimes as a picture of Jesus. The gospel is said to be a rock by Jesus himself. In a much misunderstood portion of Scripture, when Peter gives the gospel declaration and Jesus says, you are Peter, and on this rock, meaning the gospel that Peter had just said, I will build my church. And the rock comes back to being the covenant God, Jehovah, the one who saves his people. The next one is, and my fortress. And in this day and age, we don't think much of fortresses. With the advent of fighter bombers and long-range artillery, fortresses have lost some of the meaning that they had at one point. But most of the people here, growing up in this area, I'm sure you've read stories about the early settlers here, about the stockades where they go to hide themselves or protect themselves from the Indians. This is the idea that is being said here, a place of refuge where the psalmist can go to be safe from those who are trying to attack. And my deliverer. Just last week, we were listening to Mr. Pockers preach about how Jehovah, upset at the slanders and the blasphemy of the people of Assyria, came to deliver the people of Israel, or of Judah, by destroying those who surrounded it. They had their fortress there in Jerusalem, but Jehovah came to be their deliverer. My God, or Jehovah is then said to be my God. And this is why I like to break out Lord, you know, where it means the tetragrammaton, the five letters, Jehovah or Yahweh, from the generic term God or Lord. Because here it says, Jehovah, you are my God and my strength in whom I will trust. So we have again the declaration that total reliance on God here. My shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. The shield, of course, blocking the dangers coming at him. Blocking arrows, slings, spears, swords, any sort of enemy or weapon of the enemy coming to damage the psalmist. The horn of my salvation. Now, we're in an agricultural land, so the idea of a horn here. Anybody ever have cows with horns or a bull? Goats with horns? Animals with horns? You get the idea of what a horn is. It's a strong weapon. It is something you don't want to mess with. And my stronghold. And again, we're back to the idea of the fortress. I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The declaration here is calling upon Jehovah is inescapably to call forth salvation. Now, this is a good place to stop and let's think about what's going on. This is a very long psalm again. We've got 50 verses. And the first three of them are tied up in this idea of praising God for his strength, for his love for his people, for his ability to protect and preserve, to deliver those whom he has called to be his, to be trustworthy and dependable. We have to start with that idea for the rest of this psalm to really come together. And as Christians, we have to start with that idea to build our life upon the rock rather than upon sand. The next three verses is a description of the trouble that the psalmist found himself in. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that. This may be one of the longer psalm meditations. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrow of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. We have here, looking on the face of it, and the way it's often translated, as it is here, and the way it's often taught, as it usually is by people who think of the Psalms as tied into the Old Testament time frame only. We have a picture here in that context of somebody who's close to death, somebody who feels afraid of being killed and so needs help. If you go to the original language, if you look at the Hebrew, that idea doesn't really hold up. When we look at this, it's not the pangs of death. It's not fear of it, as you might think, or the pains leading up to death. It is actually the damage of death surrounded me. The injuries of death. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Where it says the sorrows of Sheol, it's not sorrows. It's cords that you would use to tie someone hand and foot. Or the cords that you would use to tie a corpse to make it ready for burial. It's not sorrows at all. But the idea that this person is completely tied up in the ropes of Sheol, or as it's translated in the older version, the ropes, the cords of hell. The snares of death. See where it says snares? That's the exact same word where it says sorrows above. Again, the cords, the ropes of death. And it's not confronted like it was before me, but it's the ropes of death have come upon me, is what the psalm is saying. This is someone who died, who has been totally captured, tied up and made helpless by death itself, who has been tied up and made ready for the pit to be taken down into the bowels of the earth to await judgment day. And in my distress, I called upon Jehovah and cried out to my God. And again, we have here the Hebrew parallel idea where the two things say different things, but the same thing. In distress, I called upon Jehovah, the covenant God, and cried out to my God. It's not just the God of the covenant that's impersonal and out there, but it's his God. But it's not just his God as one person, but it's the God of the covenant and the entire covenant people of God. He heard my voice from his temple. The temple in the Old Testament days is where God lived among his people, where they could go to be in the very presence of God. Today, of course, we don't need that. We have the church, and we are the body of Christ. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. And the picture here is of somebody far away, dying, being going down, and calling to God. And far away in the temple, God hears him. The voice came, the cry came before him, came to his ears. And the covenant God immediately came to his rescue, as we'll see when we move on in this. As we went through here reading about the pangs of death, the floods of ungodliness, the sorrows of Sheol, another thing that should have come to mind, a picture that you children should have thought of, is thinking of Jonah when he was fleeing from God and was taken into the belly of the fish for three days. And that's often used as a type, a picture of Christ, the one who taken down to death. And I'm of the minority, again, reading the original language and thinking about what it really, really says, that Jonah died and was brought back to life when he was put back up on the beach. But it was a picture of Christ coming. And through his, Jonah's, 3 days in the belly, many people were saved. But as the floods of ungodliness, the floods of the water dragged him down, as he went down to the pit, as death surrounded him, Jonah turned to God and called out to him and was brought back. Psalm 18 goes on to a great length showing how God rescues his people, or this psalmist. What then the psalmist did, how it was done. And we'll go into that in a lot more depth here in a little bit. But again, the point I'm making, and of course it's no surprise to anyone that's been following my psalm meditations, the one of the psalmist here is Jesus Christ. That as he went to hell, as he suffered and died for our sin, the covenant God, the Father, brought him back to life. The Father saved him and put him, raised him up to sit at his right hand, to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And that's what this psalm is about. And again, the people who say they can't sing about Jesus in the Psalter only because they don't understand what the Psalter actually sings about, have that problem. Now, Psalm 18, we've done this setup here. We've looked at the problems of the psalmist, how he's being pulled down into hell, how he calls to the Father to save him. So let's sing that and think about what it took to purchase your salvation, what your sins deserve, and how Jesus paid the price. And we'll sing Psalm 65. No, we won't. We'll sing Psalm 18, Part A.